One of my all-time favorite silly songs from one of my favorite Canadian bands is If I Had $1 Million. In one of the verses, they gleefully and wistfully sing, if I had $1 Million, I'd build a tree fort in our yard. You could help me, it wouldn't be that hard. Maybe we could put a little tiny fridge in there somewhere. Now, if the idea of a $1 million tree fort sounds silly, what do you think of the image of a millionaire tax collector climbing a sycamore tree? It has to be one of the high moments of comedy in all of the Gospels. And it's a sign, I think, that there is much more to Zacchaeus than just his wealth. Now, Luke introduces the story by saying that there was a man named Zacchaeus in Jericho. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Right away, we don't expect the story to turn out well for the rich man. After all, this is the Gospel of Luke. Remember what happened last week when we had the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? The poor beggar Lazarus died and found himself in the company of Abraham, and the rich man also died and found himself in torment. And last week we quoted preacher and scholar Tom Long, who noted that every time the gospel writer Luke uses the word rich, you almost get the impression that he snorts. There was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was snort rich. In the 18th chapter of Luke, the chapter right before this one, a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and asks him what he must do to inherit eternal life. They talk about keeping the commandments, and the rich young ruler assures Jesus that he has kept all of the commandments since his youth. And Jesus tells him there is still one thing that he lacks, to go and sell all that he has and give the money to the poor. And the young ruler walks away sorrowful because he was snort rich. Then Jesus says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and yes, it is a sewing needle. It's not a gate in Jerusalem, it's a sewing needle. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the crowd is shocked, not only by Jesus' hyperbole, but also by the fact that Jesus has just turned away one of the most upstanding and outwardly religious leaders in the community. They cry out, then who can be saved? And Jesus responds, what is impossible for mortals is possible with God. So if one of the most upstanding and outwardly righteous leaders is turned away because of his wealth, what do we expect to happen to a wealthy tax collector and someone who collaborates with the hated Roman Empire? The gospel writer Luke has set us up to expect that this story is not going to turn out well for Zacchaeus. But there are several surprises in store for us. The first surprise is really an aside, but I'll share it. And that is, in the original Greek, the pronouns aren't that precise. And so when it says that he was short in stature, it's not entirely clear if that's meant to be Zacchaeus or Jesus. Now, I don't want to ruin the Sunday school song that we just sang. But preacher and scholar Fred Craddock once explained that it is possible that maybe Jesus was the short one. Now, full disclosure, Fred Craddock was about 5'4" when he was wearing cowboy boots. And so maybe he was enamored of the idea of a short Jesus, and I only have a couple of inches over Fred, so I kind of like the idea of a short Jesus too. But either way, the text makes sense. If Jesus was a short one and the crowd was obscuring him, then it makes sense that maybe Zacchaeus would climb a tree in order to see him. In the summer of 1990, I was interning for a law firm in Washington, D.C., and we learned that Mikhail Gorbachev was going to be in town and his motorcade was going to pass by our building. And before, Gorbachev had gotten out of the limousine and greeted the crowds. And so in order to see Gorbachev, because he was kind of short, some of the law partners went up to the roof. Now, predictably, the Secret Service called immediately and told them to get down. But in a way, it makes sense that you would seek a high vantage point to see someone who is short, particularly if that short person was surrounded by the crowd. Now, the second surprise is that somehow Jesus knows Zacchaeus' name. And some of you may say, well, isn't Jesus supposed to know everything? But let me humbly submit that there's another possibility. As the chief tax collector in Jericho, Zacchaeus was probably very well known and universally despised. You can almost imagine the jeering of the crowd when they catch sight of Zacchaeus climbing that sycamore tree. What is he doing there? Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, do you see Zacchaeus? He's right up there. Can you believe it? He's right up there. Zacchaeus, do you see him? And we can imagine Jesus hearing all the people in the crowd murmuring Zacchaeus' name, as if the very name symbolized all that was evil and pathetic and ridiculous. And then Jesus speaks Zacchaeus' name. But unlike the crowd, he doesn't do it by murmuring or jeering. Instead, with a loud, cheerful, exuberant voice, Jesus yells, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And I can imagine that all of this is a huge surprise for Zacchaeus. And don't you know that Zacchaeus knows that there is all the difference in the world between Zacchaeus, 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 and Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus knows the difference between a jeer and a cheer. The next surprise is Zacchaeus' reply to Jesus. In the New Revised Standard Version, Zacchaeus says, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Now, the curious thing is that in the Greek text, those verbs are all in the present tense, not future. So it's as if Zacchaeus were actually saying, "Look, half of my possessions I am already giving to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone, I'm already paying them back four times as much, just in case." And the name Zacchaeus itself means innocent or vindicated. It's possible that Zacchaeus was already making restitution, and he's trying to defend his honor in the presence of the jeering crowd. So in other words, is Zacchaeus already a good and honorable man who is doing a difficult and unpopular job, much like today's IRS agents? It's quite possible. Or maybe the traditional view is correct, that Zacchaeus rose to become the chief tax collector by aggressively shaking down the taxpayers of Jericho, and now he is finally ready to repent. Either way, Jesus vindicates Zacchaeus and declares, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham." And the crowds stand there, utterly astonished, as if they have just seen a camel go through the eye of a needle. And actually, they did. They just saw it. They have witnessed the impossible salvation of a man who was rich. Now, whether Zacchaeus was already making restitution or vowing to make future restitution, he was part of a positive feedback loop in which Jesus' grace elicited Zacchaeus' gratitude, and Zacchaeus experienced more grace, which prompted even more gratitude. The rich young ruler walked away sorrowful because he was rich, and instead, Zacchaeus hears that infectious, joyous tone in Jesus' voice when Jesus yells, "Zacchaeus," and he pledges to share joyfully his possessions with those who need greater financial means to survive and thrive. Truly, that's all that is required. This joyful feedback loop. Unlike the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus is not told that he must give away everything at once, but Zacchaeus on his own promises to give substantially and joyfully. That's how it works. Grace comes first, and that's true whether Zacchaeus was already a good man or whether he became good and honorable the day that he invited Jesus to dinner. Because even if Zacchaeus had been good and honorable before, it still would not have been enough. The grace of God always comes first. We don't earn it. And then in response to that grace, we live lives of gratitude and joy. And may our own giving, our own generosity, our own hospitality be just as wide and generous and exuberant as Jesus' wide, open-armed embrace of Zacchaeus. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.